Well, good morning, everyone. Lovely to see you all today. I say see you all. It's actually much darker in here than it usually is, so I'm actually struggling to see much at all, including my own notes. So this may go very interestingly indeed. But it's our carol service, which can only mean one thing. Christmas is very nearly upon us once again. I was having a conversation about Christmas with a friend of mine the other day, and he was really upset, really cross, because there was not going to be a Christmas Day edition of Doctor Who on the telly. And I had a rather lengthy conversation with him about it, actually. He was most indignant about this. There's going to be one on New Year's, but not on Christmas Day, and he was really upset. I didn't quite get it, to be honest with you. I'm not a Doctor Who fan, I'll admit this. But I didn't quite get it until it occurred to me that this was something that meant something to him. It was part of his Christmas tradition. And I've learned that people take their Christmas traditions very seriously. My wife takes her Christmas traditions very, very seriously. I don't, which has led to some really interesting conversations in our house over the years since we've been married. Conversations about, do we really need a Christmas tree? You know, exactly, you know, why are we eating mince pies? The one that really sticks in my mind, though, is the one about the nativity. Now, I have a real bee in my bonnet about nativities, and I will freely admit to this, I come with a lot of baggage with nativities. I used to get dragged to a nativity every single year as a child, and I hated it. I hated it. It was the same thing every year. We would sing the same songs every year. Sorry, Talon. I'm going to regret that later. We would give the same orange fire hazards out to the children. And we would tell the same story again and again and again. And they would never, ever let me be Joseph. I was always something else. The highest I got was a wise man. I told you I had baggage. Never, ever got to be Joseph. So I had a lot of baggage when it comes to nativity. So I'm not a big fan of them. But this year, my son was invited to be a part of a nativity. And my wife, Lucy, went up to him and said, Angus, do you want to be a shepherd this year? And he goes, no, I want to be Batman. Wish I'd thought of that. Dress for the job you want, not the one you have, as the saying goes. In the end, he may as well have gone as Batman, because this particular nativity was playing a little bit fast and loose with the story. I would, just to make him aware, it featured a dragon, which was also played by Angus. But actually, this is a recurring theme I've seen in all the nativities I've been to, and I've been to a lot. It's often an occasion where people do play a little bit fast and loose with the Christmas story. And things start to look a little bit shaky, if particularly if you start to pay attention to the actual text. Now, we've had a little bit of that today, but the actual birth narrative, if you pay attention to that story, it begins to look a little bit different than the traditional nativity that we have kind of enshrined in our minds. For example, the chief culprit here, the donkey. Every year, there's a donkey in a nativity. Despite the fact, if you read either of those birth narratives from Matthew or Luke, not a single donkey to be found. Complete absence of donkeys, and yet there's always a flipping donkey in the nativity. We have a Christmas carol dedicated to this non-existent donkey. Yet there he is every year. But he's not the only culprit. Oh, no, 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 no. The wise men have form here as well. Always three wise men at a nativity, always standing at the back, craning over, looking at Jesus in the manger, despite the fact Scripture does not tell us how many wise men there were. It mentions three gifts, but not how many magi. And if you read the account of the wise men in the Gospel of Matthew, they don't turn up at a stable or any time. They turn up a little bit later on when Jesus and Mary and Joseph had moved into a house. So that image we have of the wise men, not a particularly accurate one. Now, you can probably tell I get a little bit exercised about this. In fact, I can tell I'm ranting. Hence why my wife calls me a bit of a humbug. And I think she's probably right. However, in preparing for this particular service and thinking about this issue, I've realized that none of those things really matter. I mean, they do matter if you're being very, very strict to the text. But actually, they don't really matter because they are not the point of the story. The donkey, the wise men, all that stuff, they are not the reason this story matters. The reason this story matters is the little baby in the middle. He is the reason for the season. He is the reason this is important. And it's, and I want to be very clear about this because it might sound a little bit controversial. When we celebrate Christmas, we are not simply just celebrating a piece of history. This is not about commemorating the past. This is about an event of much bigger significance than that. Much, much bigger significance than that. Hence why in the reading we had from John, that wonderful reading from the Gospel of John, he doesn't mention any of those details about Bethlehem, about Mary and Joseph, or any of that stuff. He instead focuses on why this event is important. Why this event is important. And we gave you a little clue as to the reason for that in our title of today's carol service. Light has come. We've had that theme in several of our readings, that wonderful reading from Isaiah chapter 60. Light has come. This is what the arrival of this baby boy means for us. Light has come. And it's a very, very apt metaphor for this baby boy Jesus. Very apt indeed. Now, here's a bit of trivia. Did you know that Jesus was almost certainly not born on the 25th of December? Sorry to break that illusion, but Jesus was almost certainly not born on the 25th of December. That was a date very deliberately chosen when Christmas was instituted around the 4th century. Deliberately chosen for many reasons, but the one that I think is most interesting, my favorite reason, is the symbolism attached to it. Because that date in the Roman calendar was the celebration of the winter solstice. Winter solstice being the shortest day of the year, the day with the most darkness, the least amount of light. That might seem rather strange time to celebrate Christmas. But after that day, the days get longer. Light begins to recede, and light comes back into the world. And that was the symbolism that the people who instituted that first Christmas were going for. That's the message they wanted to communicate. Light has come into the world. But what does that mean? Why is the arrival of this baby boy, what does that mean, light, to us? Light is a very interesting thing. From the point of view of physics, it's a form of electromagnetic radiation. It's, as far as I'm aware, and I'm not a physicist, the fastest thing in the universe. Hence we get the phrase, the speed of light. But that's not why it's important to us, not really. The reason it's important to us here and now, everyday people, is because light helps us to see. Light makes things visible, which is interesting because light in itself is not visible. It's not something we can see. I mean, you can if you like scatter it with a prism effect, but by and large, every day, we do not see light. We see its source, but more importantly, we see its effect because light illuminates. It illuminates, which means that light shines upon things. It means that things are revealed, made visible. Things are made known to us. And that is precisely what this baby boy means to us. He brings illumination. He illuminates everything. He reveals many wonderful and important things to us. The most important of which being God himself. This baby boy reveals who God is. And we believe that because Christians believe the gospel tells us that this baby boy is God. We had those words at the start of John's letter. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that word, that phrase, the Word, is used to describe Jesus. It's a phrase used to refer to Jesus as God's revelation. God is revealed to us. And Jesus is able to do this because he is God. And therefore, the qualities we see in Jesus are the qualities of God himself. Qualities of love, grace, and mercy, compassion. Qualities of truth and justice, although I will stop short of saying the American way. I'm glad someone got that. I've worked very hard on that pun. These are the things we can say of God because we see them in this man, Jesus. When Christians are talking about God, they are talking about the God they see in this little baby boy. We're not talking about the God who is the product of 2,000 years of philosophical speculation. He is not the God we have worked out. He is the God we have been shown in this baby boy. But in showing us who God is, Jesus also shows us who we are. He illuminates us because he shows us that we are children of that God, precious to our Creator and loved with abundance in a way we cannot comprehend. To quote those wonderful old philosophers, the Backstreet Boys, he doesn't care who we are, where we're from, or what we've done, as long as we love him. Who's got that going in their head now? I have. It's going around and around. We are loved. But light doesn't just illuminate. It also gives life. Life, Talon. It gives life. There we are. Thank you. It also gives life. Any biologist will tell you that... Told you I was on top of it. Yeah. Life. It gives life. Any biologist will tell you that it's from light we get photosynthesis. Through photosynthesis, plants are fed. And when plants are fed, they give us oxygen, and they in turn become our source of food. So light very literally gives us life. And so it is with this little baby boy as well. He gives life. And not just any life. Life in its fullest. Life in its fullest. Not necessarily a life without challenge or difficulty, but a life that is overflowing with meaning and purpose, love, a life with contentment and satisfaction. These are the things we've promised. Now, reading from John, that connection between life and light is made very, very, very clear indeed. It is this light that is the life of all... No, sorry, the life that is the light of all mankind. I got that backwards, didn't I? This is what we are promised. And I said earlier that this isn't about history, not just about history. This is about something more. See, that image of light and life chosen very deliberately by the gospel writer. Very deliberately. Because he's hearkening back to a very, very old story indeed. The story of creation itself. The God who said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And then he brought life into creation. And these are the things we say about the arrival of this baby boy. He too brings light and life. He brings a new creation. Things are made new. We are made new. And so that's why I say this isn't just about history. This is also about our present. This is about our future. This is an event of cosmic significance. Everything is changed. Everything is changed. And we can be changed too. This is why I believe this is good news. Light has come. Amen.